Do you remember where you were and what you were doing at 20 years old? Think about that for a minute, 20 years old. Okay, here's what we're going to do. For the next 30 seconds, I want you to tell the people around you, front, back, right and left, everybody's going to talk at once. I want you to tell what you were doing, where you were at age 20. Ready, set, go. It's up. 30 seconds. Your time is over. All right. Let's see what we discovered. How many are not yet 20 years old? So you don't know what you'll be doing at age 20. All right. How many of you can't remember that far back? Oh, that's a long time ago for some of us. How many were students at age 20? I think that's probably the majority. That's what I was. I was a student at age 20. I was in Canada at Bible College in my 20s. How many were in the military at age 20? There we go. Many of you joined early. How many were married at age 20? Wow, quite a few of you got married young. How many had children at age 20? Children having children. Wow. All right. How many had a steady occupation, a career already at age 20? So you already knew what you're doing. Wow, look at all these. That's great. How many of you owned your own business at age 20? I see one. I see two. How many were a president of a nation or a country at age 20? Any kings, queens at age 20? Well, I didn't hear what she said.
Her husband thought he was.
Oh, thought he was. He was king of his castle, but not king of a country. Today we're beginning a short series on the life of King Solomon, who became a king of Israel at age 20. So he experienced something none of us have experienced, that kind of pressure, that kind of responsibility. Now, last Sunday, we concluded our longer series, about 6 months, on the life of King David. David became a king at age 30, so he was a little bit older, a little bit wiser, a little more experienced. And David reigned for 40 years and died at age 70. We talked about that last Sunday. He was considered to be Israel's greatest king. It seems appropriate to follow up the series on David with a short series on the life of King Solomon. Imagine Solomon's thoughts as he's becoming king at age 20, his emotions, his fears. How do you follow in the footsteps of King David? Those are, as they say, big sandals to fill. David was the great warrior, great military leader. He was a great national leader. He unified the country and became strong and powerful under David. But most of all, he was a great spiritual leader, wasn't he? He was called a man after God's own heart. And here Solomon has to step in into from his shadow into the spotlight and become king. At age 20, how do you think he felt? We don't know. Well, we kind of know because of the passage today we'll learn. He felt a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit underqualified. Solomon responded in humility and submission to God's plan, and he asked God for wisdom, that he might be a good king, a fair king. And God gladly answers that prayer. When you pray for wisdom, God graciously, abundantly gives you wisdom. And God gave Solomon supernatural wisdom. Wisdom like nobody else has ever had. And that's a lesson for us today. When you feel overwhelmed, When you feel too small for the job, then call out to God for wisdom and strength. Here's our key verse today. It's in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, okay, any of you lack wisdom, put your hand up. I think this is for all of us, right? When I say this is a key verse, there's a keys right there. This is a key truth. If any of you lacks wisdom, which we all do, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That's a promise. If you lack wisdom, that's been my prayer all my life. God, give me wisdom in raising these kids. God, give me wisdom in handling this money. God, give me wisdom for my job, my ministry. Wisdom should be, you should be asking for that every day because we need it. And this is a summary of David's life. God gave him wisdom because he asked for it. And he'll do the same for us. Now, I see this series as being very brief, three parts. Today, we're going to cover the early days of Solomon's reign, the early days, and his humility, his coronation, and his request for wisdom. So that's it for today, just his early days. Next time, which won't be next week, because next week is Thanksgiving week. I think we'll do a Thanksgiving-themed service next week. But the following week, we'll look at the glory days of Solomon's reign. Not just the early days, but the glory days. What I mean by that is the building of Solomon's temple, the expansion of his kingdom, the greatness of Solomon we'll look at in that second sermon. And then finally, we'll cover the latter days of Solomon's reign, and that's when he drifted away from God. And his heart didn't follow through the way his father's did. So today we're going to just meet Solomon, his early days. We're going to see three events. We're going to see Solomon's coronation as king, Solomon's wisdom, which he asked for and got from God, and Solomon's fame. We'll be reading highlights from 1 Kings. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Kings. We're going to look at verses in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're not going to read every verse, there's just too many, but I'm going to piece together the story of Solomon's early days. We'll be displaying the verses on the overhead so you can see that. And so let's begin. Solomon's coronation. God had revealed to David, David had a lot of sons. Usually the first son becomes king. Well, Absalom tried that, didn't he? Yeah. We know about that story. That was a few weeks ago. God had revealed to David that Solomon, his son by Bathsheba, remember Bathsheba? Remember their first son died? This is her second son. It shows God's love and forgiveness for David and Bathsheba. He says, Solomon is going to be the king after you. He will reign as king. But another son, Adonijah, by the way, that's Absalom's little brother. He says, well, if Absalom can't be king, then I must be. I'm stepping up. He thought he should because he was the oldest brother left. He had different ideas. He wanted to become king. God wanted Solomon to be king. So there's a bit of a tug of war. At the end of David's life, Adonijah tried to seize the throne by force. He tried to force it. It was a royal power grab. It's the way they did it in those days. They often fight over who could be king. But God had anointed and chosen Solomon. So when David heard of Adonijah's scheme to become king, he again pronounced on his deathbed, in the end of his life, that Solomon would reign after him. We pick up our story in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 28. Then King David said, call Bathsheba to me. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king vowed and said, as the Lord lives, he who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely, as I have vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son, Solomon, shall be king after me. Pretty clear. Don't worry, Bathsheba. Don't worry about what Adonijah's doing. God has pronounced that your son shall be king after me, and he will sit on my throne in my place, and I will indeed do it this day. He said, we're gonna move up the timetable here. We're going to get this done, because Adonijah is trying to get appointed king. David then assembled the high priest and some other dignitaries and important leaders like Nathan the prophet, and they officially anointed Solomon the new king of Israel at age 20. Verse 39, Zadok, we read about him earlier in the life of David, Zadok the high priest, then took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. Not King David. Long live King Solomon. This was the official coronation of Solomon by King David and the priests with the blessing of God on his life. This abruptly ended Adonijah's attempt, his coup attempt. Suddenly he realized that he'd been outfoxed, and Solomon did become king. And so he stepped back, and Israel recognized Solomon as the rightful king. Elijah backed off temporarily. Excuse me, not Elijah. Adonijah backed off temporarily. He still wasn't done. I'll tell you more about him in a few minutes. Listen to David's final instructions to Solomon after he's anointed him as the next king. In chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. As David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. What does that mean? I'm going to die. Everyone, all the earth. So you, Solomon, be strong and show yourself a man. Don't you love that? Be a man, Solomon. You're not a boy anymore. My death is imminent. Be strong. Be courageous. Be a man. You know, the transition between adolescence and adulthood is quite often very challenging, isn't it? David was reminding Solomon, even though you're only 20 years old, that it's time to grow up, step up, take responsibility, be a man. Parents and grandparents, it's our responsibility to prepare teenagers for adulthood. There are too many kids who remain kids too long. They get out of high school and they're still at home, still living off the parents. I know there's circumstances where that's appropriate, but there comes a point where they need to be urged to grow up. Be a man, don't be a boy. Be a woman, don't be a girl. Grow up, mature. So David gave his son spiritual advice in the next couple of verses. So teens, I want you to listen up especially. I saw some of you raise your hand. You said, I'm not yet 20. That means you're a teenager. I know you're here. This is God's parental advice to you, given through David to Solomon. Just pretend that God is speaking to you. Here we go. Listen now. Verse 2. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways. Don't walk away from God. To keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. He said, you're young, stay with God. Keep his commandments, obey the Lord. So if you're a young person, this is especially important message to you. It's time to grow up and be a spiritual-minded person. If you want to succeed in all that you do, he says, learn to obey God's word and follow it and trust it and walk in it. Now we read about David's death. Chapter 2, verse 10. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The days of David reigned over Israel was 40 years. Here we see reality. As great a man as David was, even he had to die. Nobody can prolong it. It's going to happen. We must all someday sleep. We must all someday die and be buried. Is your life making a difference in those around you? We talked about leaving a legacy last week. David left a legacy. Are you leaving a legacy to those who will be burying you someday? Chapter 2, verse 12. And Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon is now king. He's been coronated. He's been blessed. Solomon became the third king of Israel. Who was the first king? Saul. Who was the second king? David. Who's the third king? That was the peak of the kingdom of Israel. After Solomon's reign, we're going to learn somewhere along the line that the kingdom was split in half. and there was civil war between the countries, the nation itself. Whatever happened to Adonijah, the man who wanted to become king? Well, he again tried to usurp his father's or his brother's authority, Solomon's authority. So Solomon had no choice but to have him executed for treason, his own brother. That's how traitors were treated in ancient times. You don't just get outvoted, you get eliminated. And he showed himself still aspiring to the position of king, and David said, well, I'm sorry, Solomon said, this is what has to happen. So Adonijah died. So we've seen Solomon's coronation. Now the main part I want to talk about today is Solomon's wisdom, his request for wisdom. As I mentioned before, Solomon was very young to be taken on such an important task as being a king, only age 20. Fortunately, he realized he was young. He realized that he was inadequate for the job. He was humble enough to say, I need God's help. And so he asked God. That's what we have in chapter 3. The whole chapter is about this request for wisdom that was granted by God. Let's begin at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God says, ask what you wish me to give you. Wow. That's an incredible dream, a vision, God appearing to him and saying, you can have whatever you wish. You've been pleased me. The verses before that said he loved the Lord like David loved the Lord. He said, I'm going to give you whatever you wish. That sounds like a blank check, doesn't it? Like a genie, whatever you wish is my command. How would Solomon answer? Would he ask for success, prosperity, military dominance as a king, like his father had? Would he ask for power, fame, wealth, romance? A typical 20-year-old might ask for all of these, but he only had one wish. What would he wish for? What would you have wished for? What would you have asked God? If he said, I'm going to give you whatever you want, whatever you wish, what would you request? Listen to Solomon's humble response in verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. You can hear him going, oh man, this is a big step for me. Yet I am but a little child. I'm only 20 years old. I do not know how to go out or come in. Isn't that beautiful? That's humility. He's acknowledging his youth and inexperience. He said, I don't know how to go out or come in. In other words, I don't know how to lead a country. I can't even hardly lead myself. I'm lost. This is too big a job for me. Verse 8 continues, your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil. He says, God, I'm overwhelmed. Give me a mind. Give me a heart. Give me wisdom. He didn't ask for stuff. He asked for leadership qualities. This story is also told in 2 Chronicles. You can read the same exact story. It's a parallel passage. But here you have that word wisdom. Let me read it to you. Chapter 1, verse 10. Give me now wisdom, Solomon says, and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this people? He said, I'm not adequate for the job. Give me wisdom so I can come in and go out, so I can be a leader. And that's something God desires to give us. You ask for wisdom, God will give you wisdom. Do you feel overwhelmed with the task in front of you? Do you feel too inexperienced for what is expected of you? Then you feel the same way Solomon did. And you should approach God the same way in humility, admitting, I'm not cut out for this job, for this call, for this challenge. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him for knowledge. Ask him for strength. Ask him for enablement. And God wants to do that. He wants to give that to you. How did God answer Solomon? Verse 10 tells us, it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. He said, this pleased God. This is the kind of prayer that God wants to answer. I'm going to continue reading verse 11. And God said to Solomon, because you have asked for this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment and understanding, to understand justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. Now look at this word. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart, not just mind, a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one be like you arise after you. God gave Solomon supernatural wisdom. He is the wisest man to have ever lived, according to that verse. No one after you or before you is as wise as you. We'll read about that in a few minutes when we talk about his fame. His fame really spread because of his wisdom. But what else did God give Solomon? He asked for wisdom. What else did he give him? Verse 13. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. So God gave him more than he asked. Solomon became not only wise, but extremely rich and famous, honored by everyone that heard or saw him. This is an Old Testament illustration of that verse we just sang about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, I seek you, God. I love you with all my heart. Give me wisdom. And God said, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you everything else you can even imagine. Isn't that beautiful? As Solomon put God first in his life, God blessed him beyond his wildest dreams. The application is pretty clear. As we put God first in our life, really first in our life, we make him a priority, God will bless you too. He'll meet your needs. Ephesians 3 talks about God doing abundantly beyond all we ask or think. I think this is way more than Solomon ever asked or thought, what God did for Solomon. The remainder of chapter 3 records a situation where Solomon displays his great wisdom. Now, it's too many verses to display, so I'm just going to read you, without comment, just a little passage. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon. As I know it's a familiar story to you. So pretend it's a bedtime story. Just sit and listen. Enjoy. This is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. It happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and she laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in mine. When I arose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son, whom I had born. And the other woman said, No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. The first woman said, No, for the dead son is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. How this got to the king, I don't know. Do you think maybe he had gone through other judges and they didn't know how to deal with this? They didn't have DNA testing in those days. And maybe the babies were 3 days apart, same age, same size, same ethnic, and nobody could really tell whose baby, which one was which. How this got before the king is a marvelous, amazing thing. Let me keep reading. Then the king said, The one says, This is my son who is living, and your son who is dead. And the other says, No, for your son is dead one, and my son is the one living one. The king said, Get me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. The king said, Divide the living child into two and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman, whose child was the living one, spoke to the king, for she deeply stirred over her son and said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him." The other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king says, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." Isn't that a great story? I know you've heard it before, but it's just fun to hear it again. The Solomon, wisdom of Solomon. This chapter, chapter 3, ends this way, verse 28. Then all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down. They feared the king. They reverenced the king. They were in awe of the king. For they saw the wisdom of God was in him. The very wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. That leads us to our third and final point today. We've seen Solomon's coronation, Solomon's wisdom. Now Solomon's fame. The word got out that this king was just and fair and wise. We just read that all Israel feared the king. They knew that he possessed the wisdom of God. He was unusual, but his fame quickly spread beyond his local country to the whole ancient world. Let's read a few verses from chapter 4, verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and every great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. I mean, he knew everything. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. And his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He became famous for his wisdom, not famous for his wealth, although he had plenty of that, but famous for his wisdom. He was literally considered to be the wisest man on the earth, and according to Scripture, the wisest man who ever lived. Verse 32 continues, he spoke 300 proverbs. Proverbs are pithy, concise little statements that have wisdom in them. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. We have in our Bible the book of Proverbs of Solomon, book of Ecclesiastes, a very philosophical book by Solomon, and the Song of Solomon, one of his most beautiful songs. There are obviously many others, recordings of teachings that we do not have in our Bible. Now, verse 33 continues to tell us about his knowledge. He spoke of trees. He spoke. He taught. He taught people about trees, from the cedars that are in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall, the big and the small. He spoke, he taught, also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. He was a scholar in every subject that was asked. God gave him supernatural knowledge. How did he get this broad spectrum of knowledge in those days? Was it by study? Was it by research? Was it by the internet? Was it by YouTube? You can learn anything off of YouTube. No, it was supernatural wisdom given by God. There's no way to explain what he knew and the details that he knew about fish and animals and birds and trees and plants. And his fame spread. People sought him out. Look at verse 34. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the people groups, all the nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Now, we're not going to read it, but chapter 10 records a visit by a queen of Sheba. And she tested him. She'd heard about his fame. She came and she asked him questions, and he explained everything beyond what she could even imagine. And she left saying, your knowledge far surpasses what I even imagined. He became famous for his wisdom. Let me read one last statement about his fame. It's at the end of chapter 10. So Solomon, King Solomon, became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. He asked for wisdom, but God gave him wealth. All the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon. Now, how those two girls got in and got their case heard by Solomon, that's amazing, because everybody was seeking Solomon's wisdom, to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. God put that wisdom in his heart. That's a fantastic truth, that God puts wisdom in the heart. So this concludes our study of Solomon's early days. Next week we'll talk about Solomon, or next time we'll talk about Solomon's glory days, the building of that amazing temple. And then we'll look later at his older days as he drifts from God. The main truth today is this, ready? God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom to those who ask him. He doesn't just give it. You have to ask him for it. Are you facing some challenging circumstance? Ask for wisdom. Are you in over your head? Are you puzzled as to how to raise those kids, how to provide for that family? Are you feeling inadequate for the task that you face? Are you dealing with some difficult relationships? Ask for wisdom. Are you having trouble in school? Trouble at work? God gives wisdom. Call out to God. Let's look one last time at that verse that we read earlier. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we admit that we are like little children. We don't know right hand from our left how to go in or go out. We are inadequate for some of the challenges we face. But Father, we thank you that your promise here that you give wisdom. And we ask you now for wisdom for each and every person in this room. Help us to seek you, love you, follow you, and seek out wisdom each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.